And 96.9 FM present the Talk of Emporia, bringing you local issues, topics, and events of the day.
Good morning. Welcome to the Talk of Emporia, 14 KVUE, 96.9 FM, and KVUE.com today. Talk of Emporia brought to you by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. That chicken fried steak dinner is on special every Sunday now. It's cooked perfection. You got the mouth-watering homestyle gravy just slathered all over it. It's Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue in downtown Emporia. And also we're brought to you today by Newman Regional Health, offering more medical specialties and convenience than ever. Newman Regional Health. Well, we're pleased to have with us here this Tuesday morning, Leland Daines, Emporia Spanish Speakers founder, and recently, I'm not sure if the transition process is over, but named a few months back as the CEO for the group that he founded several years back, and we get a big update. We got a lot of things to talk about here over the next few minutes. Leland, good morning. How are you?
Buenos dias, Chuck. Good morning. Yeah, I'm doing good. Yeah, transitioning.
Yep.
I no longer come into the Chamber of Commerce, the Tressler Business Center, and that's been a weird feeling. Mm-hmm. But yeah, obviously I'm excited for this transition and all the work that me and my team are doing at Emporia Spanish Speakers, which is quickly growing. We'll talk some about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're doing a lot of good.
That's outstanding. And let's, before we do anything else, let's take us back to, mm-hmm. It seems like we always started, you know, at the beginning with Emporia Spanish Speakers, how you got the group started, and really how it's evolved from that point to where we're at here in early March.
Well, I like talking about that because, in fact, I was just telling someone who's familiar with our organization today but wasn't familiar with how it got started. And so I always enjoy talking about that. But it really was born out of my own desire to learn Spanish. I had returned to Emporia, and when I was living in Colorado, I was traveling a lot to Central and South America. So I'd been taking classes at the public library there in Colorado Springs. I was traveling internationally a fair amount and using the language skills I was picking up. I came back to Emporia, and like any good muscle, I wasn't using it, and I was losing it. I could tell I was losing my Spanish ability because I didn't have any reason or people to engage with. And so, like most of the world, I was using Duolingo on my phone, the world's largest language learning app. It's a wonderful tool. And Duolingo had a call out for global ambassadors. They were looking for people who wanted to step out into the community and lead in-person language events. Well, that sounded just like my cup of tea, right? And so I became a global ambassador for Duolingo, and I started putting on local events under the name of Emporia Spanish Speakers. And that was kind of the genesis. And then over the last 7 years, here we are today. So
here we are is quite a bit different, I think, from what you – it may not have been what you had planned here for Emporia Spanish Speakers, or maybe it was part of the plan, but – It's much bigger now than it was when you first got started.
It's not in the least what I had planned.
Really?
I mean, so where we are here today, we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are incorporated as Kansas Spanish Speakers, and we do business as Emporia Spanish Speakers here in town. Not only did we establish a nonprofit organization, it's now my full-time job, and I employ staff. That is nothing what I envisioned. I had envisioned creating a social community club where I could practice my own Spanish skills alongside a few others. Mm-hmm. That's all I set out to do. But as often is the case with me, I think as if you've grown to know me better over the last decade plus, this is kind of what I do. And mm-hmm. I saw a need, and I had people coming to me saying, wouldn't it be great if? And that's one of my favorite questions, but I don't leave it there. And I say, yeah, it would be great. And so we just kept adding to the point where we've established ourselves to what we are today, which is not the end point either, I must say.
Right.
We're going to keep going and growing. So
I have to ask what those first few meetings were like in the original format, and how long did it take for that question coming up as like, hey, this is really cool, but maybe this can expand and maybe take another direction.
Yeah, well, those first few meetings were small. The very first time I created a Facebook group. I put it out there. I said, hey, come meet. It was Salsa Street Grill at that time, now Mi Chavalita. Mm-hmm. I had two people join me. Two people. James Bordenaro, an attorney here in town.
Yeah.
And John Caton, former tennis coach at ESU.
Yeah. Okay.
Those were the two were my first attendees. And we would meet every Monday, but there were days where I would show up and I was the only one there. And I guess I always want to point that out, because for those people who are out there trying to start some side hustle or start a club or an organization, I want people to understand that you've got to, there's going to be days where no one shows up. And yeah. I had those days and I kept coming.
Yeah.
And that's why we're here where we are today, is because we never lost faith in what we were doing. We never worried about, is this worth it? We always knew it was worth it. Even mm-hmm. when people didn't show, I believed in what I wanted to create there. And so, but one of the big turning points, and I've said this before, was when two individuals who are near and dear to my heart, Patricia Reyes and Sally Sanchez, came. They heard about this little club and wanted to check it out. And they came, and that was the first time I met those ladies. And they were the ones who really transformed my thinking into believing that the organization could be, well, or that the club could become something more. Mm-hmm. But I would argue they probably didn't even imagine or know what we see today.
Yeah.
They just started pointing out things like, hey, you know, we don't have Spanish in our elementary schools anymore, the dual language programs, we've lost those. And so that, oh, okay. So I started Los Puentes, a youth program for K-5. And so that's kind of how that started to develop, was they and others would, particularly members of the Latino community, would point things out to me, and I would go fill that gap the mm-hmm. best way I knew how.
You mentioned here about, you know, your time before coming to Emporia, you know, in Colorado specifically, and going to Central and South America. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about what took you there. What were yeah. some of the circumstances that got you there, and really how that started, you know, maybe getting some gears rolling?
Well, gears is right, Chuck, because it was bicycles that took me there.
I should have known.
When I was in Colorado, I was working for Lance Armstrong's coach, Chris Carmichael. Oh, it was a training right. company that led these trips, and my job was to take people on bike excursions, support them on their bike rides in the most beautiful places in the world. So the Andes Mountains, the Costa Rican jungle, everything from the West Coast to the East Coast, to Brevard, North Carolina. And so my job was to take folks out on these exotic trips to ride their bikes and experience the world by bicycle. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't
it? Makes it? A ton of sense. Based on how your career is going,
yeah.
it makes a lot
and
of
so,
sense.
So there were events down in Central and South America that the company we were leading, and part of my job was to develop those, and I went out and helped create some of those experiences in those locations. And that was my real it wasn't my first time. I'd visited Mexico before previously on a short stint, but it was when I was really making repeated trips into those areas, and obviously just being the inquisitive, curious guy that I am, naturally I wanted to learn how to speak the language mm-hmm. to help not only facilitate my job but form better relationships with the people I was working with in those sure. areas. And I've always grown up, you know, one of my uncles was born in Cuba, and he was married to my aunt for a long time. And so I always kind of had this exposure, but it was those trips that really started to accelerate a desire to make it stick, if yeah. you will. And I think language learners will understand that. We've all got a little, oh, yeah, I took a class in high school. But you gotta go above and beyond to make it stick.
Mm-hmm. I have to ask, I mean, even with your you know, experience that you had in your family, those trips that you took, maybe especially the first few trips, was it a little bit, I'm going to use the term uncomfortable, when you're out there and you're trying to facilitate, and I'm assuming that the communication was maybe not as smooth as it could be?
Without a doubt. It was extremely awkward, and you've got to understand not just the language barrier, but the cultural barrier.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
that
so I'll give one very specific example of here we are in the middle of the Andes Mountains. These are small towns, sometimes they're resort towns, but there's still not a plethora of lodging. It's very exclusive and oftentimes. And we rolled up into one town in particular, and I had reservations. I had confirmed reservations. Mm-hmm. Well, they had double booked the rooms. And so here I am, not speaking the predominant language, trying to work with my local guide, trying to explain to him that we have rooms here, and they're trying to tell us we already gave them away to somebody else. These are high-end clientele that are paying for a premium experience, right? And so Yeah, extremely awkward situations.
Yeah.
We got through it. We managed. We had a place to stay. It all worked out at the end, but it was challenging, absolutely.
Sure. How did that experience or some of the similar experiences like that drive the early stages of Emporia Spanish Speakers, and especially once you started getting some more regular folks that were starting to engage, interact, and kind of had a similar mindset as you do?
Well, it definitely fueled my inspiration to keep learning, right?
Okay.
You know, we talk about language acquisition. Even to be functional takes time. To be fluent, whatever that means, however you define that, takes a long, long time.
Yeah.
And it was those types of awkward encounters. I really believe you have two choices. Maybe you have more, but I like to drill it down into two choices. You can say, this is awkward and uncomfortable, and I don't want to do this anymore. Or you can say, this is awkward and uncomfortable, and I want this to get easier, and I'm going to work harder to make it less awkward and less uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's typically the path that I take. When I encounter something that's challenging, difficult, uncomfortable, awkward, I feel shame and embarrassment the same as anyone else. But then I feel a sense of, well, I don't want to be embarrassed or feel ashamed or whatever, or experience this bad thing. I want to get better at this. And so I doubled down. I doubled down on the Spanish language, and that helped me continue to push the organization forward, not just my own language learning. But I truly believe that if I didn't stay on fire for learning the language, I could not have driven the organization forward like I have up to this point. And so I could argue that it was those exact uncomfortable instances that led me to keep doubling down and keep driving everything forward.
Leland Dane's joining us again, Emporia Spanish Speakers founder and CEO, transitioning really to full-time, full-bore roles here with Emporia Spanish Speakers the last several months after a lengthy and fruitful career over at Visit Emporia and also with Unbound Gravel before that. I wanted to ask you before we took our first break and really started kind of setting where Emporia Spanish Speakers is now, but you mentioned here about Patricia Reyes, you mentioned Sally Sanchez and how they kind of opened your thought and maybe pointed you in another direction. Really, I guess maybe talk about the evolution of Emporia Spanish Speakers from that initial group to what Patricia and Sally had kind of mentioned here as those different opportunities for maybe growing the organization and give us some other examples as to kind of how you guys took the ball and ran with it and helped to meet the not only just kind of the initial need, but the other needs that started popping up.
Well, it was through collaboration, right?
Yeah.
So Sally and Patricia at that time and still to this day were representatives of Hispanics of Today and Tomorrow. So that was certainly one of the first entities, if you will, that I would have started to partner with, collaborate with, work together with on various things. Los Puentes, when we started it, it was actually a standalone event that we hosted. So that wasn't in partnership with anyone other than hosting it down at the Arts Council and bringing in some guest community speakers from time to time. But next came the university. So our Los Puentes was so popular and successful. We were selling that out with our cap of 20 kids in the classroom because, it's difficult to manage that many K through 5 kids.
Yep.
And then we had to split it between K to 2nd and 3rd to 5th because the kids were getting – the demand was so high. And then we had parents who were bringing their kids saying, I want a course like this. I want a program for adult learners. And so we partnered with the university and created Se Habla Español, Spanish is spoken here, for adult learners centered predominantly around customer service interactions. So what we really wanted to do was not just in the personal arena, but in the professional setting, we wanted to teach people how to facilitate interactions. Mm-hmm. And we did that through a very intensive boot camp. Well, that's what Se Habla is. It's pretty intense. We got a short amount of time to give you as much info as we can. But hopefully what we hope you leave with is the confidence to say, I know a little bit. I'm going to try to help people instead of saying, sorry, I don't speak Spanish. I can't help you.
Right.
So we partner with the university on that. They've been phenomenal partners. Their instructors, their Spanish professors help us teach that course, which is a great asset to the community. It helps us keep the cost low. Then came health partners like the Kansas Health Foundation, locally Newman Regional Health and Stormont Vale, CareArc and Crosswinds have been crucial partners. So then we started to understand, well, geez, the statistics show that this demographic of people has higher propensities of poor health outcomes, and we don't like that. We want to change that. So that's when we started to get involved with various health organizations to say, okay, as an organization that is building reputation, building relationships within the Hispanic community here in Emporia – how do we parlay that into improving their health? And so it started with all those partnerships, including USD 253. I want to highlight this one really quick because it's one of my most one of our greatest success stories of how a collaboration and partnership can and should work.
Right.
So we want to improve people's health. So last fall, we partnered with USD 253 for the ESL learners that are trying to obtain their high school diploma. We created a healthy economic cooking class. We taught people how to buy healthy ingredients economically, how to prepare healthy meals, and they got half a credit towards their high school diploma. This semester, they're walking. Every Friday, they walk for an hour. So they're getting their a portion of their weekly exercise needs, and that counts as a PE elective towards their high school diploma. So you're talking about meeting people where they're at. They're already taking these ESL classes at the mall through USD 253. We're not asking them to come somewhere they don't feel safe or where they're unfamiliar with. They're already there. We're meeting them where they're at. We're fulfilling it two needs simultaneously. On the surface, just the two, the physical health and the high school diploma credit. But then there's the community building that's happening, the sense of belonging, forming relationships between the other participants. And it's just a little micro cosm. We're talking 20 people, but it's everything that we talk about is happening in that 1 hour a week, whether it be healthy cooking, coming together and preparing a meal together or walking together. Those are the kinds of examples of what we're building, what we're creating.
It seems like every door that's opened up here for Emporia Spanish Speakers, whether it's, you know, it's kind of direct conversations or something that just kind of pops out of, you know, it's kind of as a tangent, it's led to almost, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but it seems like it's led to direct and several other doors opening up right behind that one door.
Without a doubt.
It's amazing here to hear you talk about this, about, you know, okay, well, here's this. Okay, but then there's anywhere from two to maybe six or seven different tangents that all can be met at the same time.
Well, I think that's what networking does, right? When we talk about collaboration, and networking is tied into that. When you work with others, you inevitably meet other people in that arena or in that realm. You talk to one education provider, you get connected with 253 in the tech college, and it opens up different adjacent doors, right? And it just keeps going down the hallway, and all these, oh, well, my neighbor, so, you know, my neighbor, this organization does this, and you just keep going and going, because at the end of the day, what our desire is for a healthier Emporia. Now, I'm not just talking about physical and mental. Right. I'm talking about economic as well. We really identify ourselves as a community development organization. What we are doing, Chuck, is investing in people who want to be Emporians. And the Latino community at near 33% of our population today has shown us for decades that they want to be Emporians. And despite that, we've been losing our overall population. And so I look at this as I love this community so much. This demographic of individuals is very vital to the overall well-being of my community. If one is not well, the whole is not well, okay? And so our organization is trying to make all well in our community so the whole community can rise together.
It's 1124 on KVUE and KVUE.com, or Talk of Emporia today with Emporia Spanish Speakers founder and CEO Leland Daines. We're going to talk more. We got several other things that we still have to bring to the forefront here as our Talk of Emporia continues. And it's brought to you today by Newman Regional Health and Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue.
Hi, my name is Jordan Willis, and I'm thrilled to be a part of Newman Regional Health in Kansas. Emporia is not only my new workplace, but my family and I are also excited to call it home. As an orthopedic surgeon with a focus on shoulders, elbows, and knees, I'm dedicated to providing top-notch orthopedic and sports medicine services to the community. Whether I'm on the sidelines at an ESU game, in the clinic, or in the operating room, my priority is to build strong relationships with my patients and offer compassionate care.
To schedule, please call Newman Regional Health, 343-2376.
Enjoy dining at what has been an Emporia favorite for more than 23 years, Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. They've added a special for you to try on Sundays. It's their famous chicken fried steak dinner, cooked to perfection and covered in mouth-watering home-style gravy. It's served with homemade mashed potatoes and green beans. If you're bringing in a large group, call ahead and they'll save you a table. Chicken fried steak is served on special every Sunday at Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue in downtown Emporia.
Live and local, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. This is KVOE News Headlines.
Chuck Samples in the 24-hour KVOE newsroom with local news headlines as we continue to track a rather wide swing in temperatures and conditions across the KVOE listening area today. Spring today with showers and thunderstorms likely. Updates at KVOE.com on the severe weather risk here for this afternoon, which happens to be low end. Also, we do have a return, although briefly, to winter and a rather rude awakening for winter as well with light snowfall, very high winds. As a matter of fact, we have a high wind warning, winter weather advisory, blizzard warnings up for the KVOE listening area at times here for today and for tonight. Don't forget as well that we'll be updating you on the power outage situation with a number of outages that developed earlier this morning, more possible here today and tonight, and also Lyon County deputies working in injury rec that they say was involved with high winds early this morning. I'm Chuck Samples, KVOE News.
Proud to be a part of Emporia, the founding city of Veterans Day.
To all veterans of the United States of America.
14 KVOE, 96.9 FM.
America thanks you for your service.
Live and local. You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Emporia Spanish Speakers founder and CEO Leland Danes are Talk of Emporia guests here today at the KVOE and KVOE.com. It's now 11:27. We've been talking here in the first segment, really a lot of foundational when it comes to Emporia Spanish Speakers and really how the organization has developed, for the most part, a couple of things that we haven't hit on just yet, but how it developed and how it's gotten to this point here as a community development organization. And Leland made, in a couple of different ways of saying it, made a really interesting point here in the first segment about community, sense of belonging when it comes to the Spanish-speaking community here. And the point that you made here about your love of the community, the Hispanic community percentage growing now over time, where it's up to a third of the Emporia population at a time when we're lucky to have it flat, population overall for the last 30 to 40 years. There's reasons why the Hispanic community is growing in percentage here at this particular point in time, and they're seeing something here in Emporia's present and future, I think, that clearly Emporia Spanish Speakers is meeting and helping to augment.
Well, I would agree with that, yeah. You know, I think a lot of it starts with job opportunity, right? So we ask ourselves, well, why would Hispanic folks be coming into our community? It starts with opportunity. If you look historically, yes, of course, a lot of Mexican nationals were brought in by the railroad to work on the railroad. You think about La Colonia and Las Casitas over there, right? The old row houses, yep, where they lived in while they worked to build our railroad, maintain those things, and grow business such as that. And then then our minds go to manufacturing, places like Tyson, Hostess, now Schmucker's, of course, Simmons, Michelin, those types of factory kinds of things would bring in a lot of people seeking opportunity to work and provide for their families. Well, now we're seeing a surge in education. So people wanting to come for things like our technical college and our university, they see the future educational opportunities, if not for themselves, but for their children. And so those are some of the reasons behind it. But at the end of the day, you know, you were hitting on belonging, okay? And I know DEI is kind of under attack by some people out there. Well, when I talk about belonging, we're not talking about political ideology here. Right. We're not talking about gender or race or ethnicity or language. We're talking about a very basic human desire to belong within a group of people. That's innate within us, okay? And so, again, I circle it back to Emporia. I want to belong in Emporia, Chuck. That's why I came back here.
Yeah.
Not just because this was my home, or I could make home anywhere, but I love this community, and it's where I feel like I belong of anywhere I've been in the world. And I want others, if they choose this place to reside, I want them to have that same sense of belonging, that they belong here in this community, regardless of their ethnicity, language spoken, sexual orientation, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. You deserve to belong in a town that is beautiful. for all the reasons you and I love it. And so that's much of what we strive to do, is help people understand, to give them that sense that they do belong. And I've got to be frank, me being an American-born, white, English-speaking person, something hits a little harder about that when I approach someone speaking their language and say, I want you here. I see you in Emporia. I love that you're here. How can I help make your time here better? Mm-hmm. It just hits a little different because it's rare.
And you'd mentioned here, too, off mic, about the reactions and appreciations that you get. You know, and I will now include your staff in that now, too, at Emporia Spanish Speakers, because you're clearly doing a lot of great work in a lot of different categories here for people here who are here and people who are considering coming here.
Yeah. Well, very few people do a job purely to provide output, to do work without receiving some input back, right?
Right.
So undoubtedly, I can't shy away or deny the fact that I receive a lot by doing this work, and it's really the infectious gratitude of the Latino community by and large. These are individuals who, again, we have to generalize here with a statement such as what I'm going to make, but many of the residents coming here, they're not simply seeking opportunities. That's a portion of it, but they're trying to escape something that's pretty terrible. Okay, it could be economies that are bad, and there are no opportunities to provide and provide basic amenities like food on the table, let alone other things that we need to survive. It could be extreme violence. Okay,
could be, yeah.
So when they come here to Emporia and they fall in love with it, they truly do see a community that is beautiful, that is safe, that provides opportunity. It really is heaven on earth for a lot of people compared to what they're coming from or trying to get away from. And so that gratefulness that they feel, that they express to me, their gratefulness for my efforts to learn their language and to connect with them, to make them feel like they belong, it fills my cup every day and makes me want to do more of it.
Now, unfortunately, we're talking about this at a time where there's a lot of upheaval in the community, has been for now exactly 3 months, after Tyson, then Holiday Resort, and then several other businesses that have announced closures. Obviously, the one, though, that hits the hardest is Tyson. Even though they're phasing things out, mm-hmm. still operating here until middle to late June, as opposed to wrapping things up here about 2 to 3 weeks ago. I would assume that the outreach from Emporia Spanish Speakers to those affected, specifically at Tyson, and then also maybe the Tyson workers to ESS, has been at really elevated levels the last 2 months.
Elevated is a good word. Overwhelming at times.
Really?
Yeah, in a good way, obviously. Before Tyson's announcement, we were still growing in what we could do. I hadn't yet left my day job at that time. Since Tyson's announcement, you know, Tyson employed 800 people. But it's not just the 800 workers, it's their family members that are affected by a decision such as that. So we're talking 1,000 plus people, really, you know, as many as 2,000 plus. I don't really know how big these families are, right? We knew through Tyson's own statistics that 500 plus of their 800 were Hispanic and predominantly Spanish speaking. So since the first of the year, especially, things have ramped up for us. We've tended hundreds of people, predominantly Tyson employees, to help them with unemployment applications, job applications, resume building, scholarships to go back to school, pointing them to ESL classes so they can improve their English, you name it. We're trying to help them. And by and large, I'm grateful that they have a pretty positive attitude across the board. When one door closes, another opens. Mm-hmm. Now, as time goes on, it's gonna get challenging to find work here in Emporia, and people might have to make difficult decisions to leave in order to provide for their families.
Sure.
But I can say that the rapid response that's been formulated by Kansas Works, the Chamber of Commerce, the City of Emporia, and beyond, the educational institutions and other entities that have been involved with that, has been phenomenal. And I believe everyone is thinking we have retained and will retain a lot more of those employees than we originally anticipated when the news broke.
Right.
And that's a wonderful thing. And what we're hearing from the Tyson employees directly is that they want to stay in Emporia. They'd be willing to drive to the Ottawa warehouses if that's where they can get a job, but reside here in Emporia until a future date when hopefully more job opportunities become available again. So yeah, we've been inundated with people, and we're trying to keep up the best we can, but it's been extraordinarily meaningful work, and we believe it's been instrumental in helping the community at large retain these individuals.
Yeah, and I would also say, too, that the existing partnerships that you've been able to develop since Emporia Spanish Speakers really started taking on this, you know, economic development, quality of life, you know, wide-scale quality of life role, the existing partnerships that you've been able to develop have only been able to help that.
Without a doubt. I really have to point to Kansas Works especially.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we want to touch on this subject, but our relationship with Kansas Works has accelerated such in the past few months that we actually now reside and have physical office within the humanitarian building, Lowther South, with Kansas Works.
Okay.
So we have solidified that partnership in a way that we are basically residents in their office space. They had extra room that was not being utilized, and it has been a perfect location for us, a base camp of operations, if you will, to assist the people, specifically with the timing of the Tyson announcement and the specific workforce needs that we're seeing right now.
For folks that don't remember, it was last fall, if memory serves me correctly, that you had mentioned at least, and maybe this even as early as last summer, plans that you wanted to find a physical, quote-unquote, brick-and-mortar space here for your operations. And I'm going to phrase this in probably a rather uncomfortable way, but had it not been for Tyson, some of the you know, business decisions that have been made here the last 3 months, would you still be looking for a spot?
Yes. Yeah, because we actually dream, Chuck, of multiple physical locations for the needs, and I'll kind of dissect what that means or what we're looking at, but we've known for a long time that we needed space to facilitate a multitude of objectives, and we knew that one physical space probably couldn't fulfill all of the needs we were looking at. And so we were looking at a variety of settings of, okay, well, we need an office space to meet with people. What could that look like? We also want a community shared space where a lot of our programming can live, and that's not in an office. We want a community space, which is different than an office space. A space that where we can come together over food, where we can celebrate, that can be accessible to the community to access. We still dream of that kind of a space. Mm-hmm. We also have ideas on residential space. What would it look like? You know, when people come into our community, especially immigrants, with the permission that they have to be here and to work, it's still difficult to find a place to live, to find work and that kind of things. We were encountering people that were paying $100 a night in a hotel. And that's not sustainable for anybody.
No.
And so what would it look like to have more hostel style or short-term rental opportunities? How could we play a role in that? So when we think about physical spaces, it was never just a desk to put a computer on. It was a multitude of things and different ways that we wanted to facilitate the programs we have today and the ideas we have for the future.
How does having the office space, though, help you with those other goals?
It's going to accelerate. Yeah,
it's going to accelerate.
It's going to shorten the time. Yeah, absolutely, because we have a space to call home. It's very difficult to conduct business transiently if you don't have a space to operate from, that stability. And so Kansas Works and their space within the humanitarian building there at Lowther South is wonderful. We love it. And it will remain our office space for the foreseeable future. And now we can look at those other use locations that we want, community shared space, maybe residential in the future. Those are all ideas and concepts we need to develop a bit, but it won't take away from where we're at today and the partnership we have with ECAN and Kansas Works and the Tech College, other people that reside directly in that building, and of course, organizations outside of that space.
Leland Day is joining us, long time visit Emporia, longer time Emporia Spanish Speakers founder and now CEO here, and transitioning to the full-time role as CEO here over the last several weeks. Our final break here on the Talk of Emporia coming up, we'll talk a little bit more about future plans and collaborations, and we will wrap things up after that. Again, Talk of Emporia continues here today, 11:39 on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM Emporia, brought to you today by Newman Regional Health and Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue.
Enjoy dining at what has been an Emporia favorite for more than 23 years. Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. They've added a special for you to try on Sundays. It's their famous chicken fried steak dinner. Cooked to perfection and covered in mouth-watering home-style gravy, it's served with homemade mashed potatoes and green beans. If you're bringing in a large group, call ahead and they'll save you a table. Chicken fried steak is served on special every Sunday at Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue in downtown Emporia.
At Newman Regional Health, Dr. DeShayla Castile, Dr. Christina Faulkner, and our dedicated OBGYN team are here to support women's health in the greater Emporia community. With years of experience, they're here to support you through every stage of life, from routine checkups to family planning and beyond. Your health is our priority. Schedule your appointment today and experience compassionate, comprehensive care tailored just for you by calling 620-343-2376. Newman Regional Health, helping you achieve your healthy goals.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and investors responding after President Trump's 25% tariffs on imported goods from Mexico and Canada went into effect today. Stocks tumbling for a second day. Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced 25% reciprocal tariffs on U.S. goods, saying the trade war is counterproductive, but Canada won't back down. He also spoke directly to Americans and put the blame on President Trump.
Your government has chosen to put American jobs at risk, at the thousands of workplaces that succeed because of materials from Canada or because of consumers in Canada, or both.
Ukrainian President Zelensky speaking out since President Trump announced the U.S. is pausing military aid to Ukraine. It follows the diplomatic fallout last week. Zelensky says his country wants lasting peace. Crowds are celebrating Fat Tuesday in New Orleans, the pinnacle of Mardi Gras festivities in the Big Easy. This is ABC News.
Listen to Hornet Basketball, home and away, on Mix 104.9, the mobile app, and at KVOE.com. You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Final segment of Talk of Emporia here for today, our 12 o'clock hour of news and information, now 18 minutes away. Leland Daines, founder and CEO of Emporia Spanish Speakers, joining us. And we don't have a lot of time, but there's a couple of topics that we really need to hit on. One of which, if you're familiar with the Mi Negocio Academy, which is I think in the process of the second or third?
Oh, this is year two. She's in Rebecca at the chamber there is in the middle of year two for that program. Yeah,
that is for folks that need kind of a corollary, kind of like a start your own business course for our Hispanic community.
And you know, again, we talk about being a community development organization. Our work with the Chamber of Commerce to help pilot and now develop that further, the need has been extraordinary. Again, you're talking about a subset of our community at large, individuals that speak Spanish, yet we're getting 13 individuals enrolled last year, and I think 18 were enrolled at the start, and we're down to maybe 15 in year two.
Still has growth.
So they are, and this goes along with all the stats we know that immigrants are more likely than American citizens to start a business, to be an entrepreneur, oftentimes out of necessity. Our Spanish speakers here in Emporia want to grow and develop opportunities that not only help themselves but help the community. And nobody for years had been investing in this opportunity in Spanish to provide this education to people who want to start a business, who we know are starting businesses and want to do so and need that assistance. And so I commend the Chamber and, of course, Emporia Spanish speakers getting involved to help develop and spur the growth on of that program. It's just another shining example of how you work with existing entities in our community. We provide a little bit of expertise on Spanish language in the community, but we partner together to create opportunities such as this that is leading to extraordinarily positive impacts in our community.
And, you know, one of the things that we here at KVOE are proud to be part of is Voces of Emporia.
Emporia.
And Tegan Trahoon, I have to give a shout out to him for his work in not only just kind of helping to get the conversations going, but to be vitally involved in getting things set up and ready to go every other week. And the growth of that and the interest that we've heard on our side is very heartening for continuing this and expanding it down the road.
This is a non-paid disclaimer. I was not paid to say this, but KVUE, you know, Chuck, you guys have been extraordinarily good partners. You've employed interns and other staff that was bilingual to help develop this. But we talk about a sense of community and belonging. Well, being able to receive the local news and communications and uplifting stories. I mean, Las Voces is Talk of Emporia in Spanish for KVOE and for the community. And Luisana, my outreach coordinator, is a phenomenal host for that program.
She does a great job.
And it's just an amazing way for our Spanish-speaking residents to hear uplifting stories of other Latino community members doing wonderful things, programs and services that can help them advance in the community. And so, we don't have enough time with the time remaining or even the whole show to talk about all of the partnerships and the programs that we've gotten into.
But it does lead up to, as we wrap things up here today, what's ahead? And it sounds like there's a couple of three levels of this. There's local, there's statewide, and now region-wide conversations that are fleshing out.
Region, or dare we just go ahead and say national and just so we hit on the local of what we want to expand into some physical spaces to continue enacting the programming and the community development we've got going on here. Absolutely. Emporia will likely always be our base of operations and where we do the most, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. But when we incorporated as a 501c3, I alluded to this, we incorporated as Kansas Spanish speakers. We will continue doing business as Emporia Spanish speakers here in town, but to the rest of the world, we're actually Kansas Spanish speakers. And we have contracts with communities throughout Kansas, Nebraska, and beyond, talking to folks in Arkansas communities that are seeing an influx of immigrants. And we are doing workshops, trainings. We offer translation services to anyone in the world. So we offer a suite of services and trainings, workshops, that we can go on the road, and we're doing that. We'll be in Hayes in next month, in April, in about 30 days, we'll be doing our, we've done others here, but we'll be going on the road for the first time ever, getting out of Emporia to enact some of this education and training that we want to offer.
Speaking of local, though, what do you have here in mind for the rest of the year, maybe even looking ahead to 26? Because you have all of the stuff now and the expansive reach, but you mentioned here Emporia is the core. Emporia is the home. So what do you have in mind in addition to the other office space and really other presences in the local community that you have?
Well, definitely refining. We always want to make sure our programming is the best it can be. But one of my primary objectives is not actually to create and own all of the programming. It's to put it where it belongs. So I'll give you an example. Los Puentes, we talked about how we created this opportunity for youth. Mm-hmm. Well, we couldn't scale that up fast enough in a way that we could even meet the demand we were experiencing or reach all the kids in the K-5 system that we wanted to. So we have now been starting to partner with the Boys and Girls Club, who provides after school programming. We started last summer with their Passport to Summer, and we're going to do it again this summer. We're going to reach 80 kids. Well, that's four times more than we could handle with the limited staff and capabilities we had previously.
Nice.
Next step, put it in every elementary school. Now you're talking 300-500 K-5 kids get some exposure to Spanish language. So step by step, our objective is to actually release control where necessary, partner with entities, and always work with them if there's a space for us to do so, and help put things where they belong to reach the most people, given the audience, the intended audience of the programming. One of my favorites, I have to make mention of it because I want to make clear to the English-speaking listeners out there, many of the activities, nearly all of the activities, are open to the public. In fact, we want English speakers and Spanish speakers to come together. There's no better example than two great examples. Our language exchange, which happens every second Thursday of the month over there at the Adult Education Learning Center at the Flint Hills Tech College space downtown, an opportunity to just come and meet people from different nationalities. And I'm talking from all over, even Bangladesh, not just Spanish speakers.
Serious? Okay.
Yeah, we've got individuals who are taking ESL courses that simply want to meet people and refine their language skills. So that's an opportunity if you're just just beginning to think about, well, maybe I would want to do that. Well, start out by just coming meeting new people,
sure,
and then that'll foment your desire to want to learn. And our Vamos Explorar, Let's Explore series is one of my favorites because I love to be outside in nature. Between March and October, once a month, we'll have an explore opportunity. March 15th, Saturday, March 15th, 10 a.m. at the zoo.
Okay.
We're going to be introducing people to that space. We're going to walk around, get our exercise, enjoy the beautiful space. We're then going to get an opportunity to meet some of the animals in the education center, and we're encouraging people to bring a sack lunch for afterwards. We'll sit and have a lunch together. And that, Chuck, right there is what belonging to a community looks like and means. And we need both. Again, we need the English
right.
speakers
Absolutely.
To come along with our Spanish speakers, make everyone feel comfortable.
Another another activity that strikes me, Empavia.
On
that
yes.
list. And I know we don't have a ton of time left, but Empavia is definitely
yeah.
on that list, too.
Another great opportunity to get out in a community space, public space, and again, just getting to know people, coming together as a community.
In case people want to learn more about Emporia Spanish Speakers, how do they do that?
Well, we're not hard to find. Emporia Spanish Speakers is the name. You search that on the internet, you'll get EmporiaSpanishSpeakers.com. We're on Facebook under that name and on Instagram under that name. My cell phone has long been published through the various jobs I've had. I'm not hiding. I want you to reach out to
right.
me directly, to any of our staff, through our channels, if that's the way you want to get in touch with us. Tell me your ideas. Tell me your hopes, your desires, what you want to see done, and let's see how we can work together to achieve it.
Leland Danes, Emporia Spanish Speaker, founder and CEO. Thanks so much for spending an hour with us here this morning, and to keep us posted on what you got cooking.
Siempre un placer. Always a pleasure to be here with you, Chuck. Thank you.
All right. Leland Danes, our Talk of Emporia guest today. It's 11:51 on KVUE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVUE.com. All the information you need, live and local.
KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM.